Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
Hi, Four Center friends. Welcome to another special edition of Spotlight Star Wars, episode 138 in a continuing series. And we have another interview I'm presenting to you in just a moment. I have the hindsight of having already conducted the interview, so I have seen into the future. And know what you are about to get. We're going to be sitting down with Adam Witt, part of the Movie Guys podcast, movie pundit team, organization. They've been a lot of things over the years, but they're all very funny, all very talented. Adam and Paul Preston kind of leading that ship over there. Adam and I, as we discussed in the interview, I've known each other for a while. We recently just got to spend more time around each other, thanks to the movie trivia Schmodown, specifically the Star Wars division. I don't talk about the Schmodown much here, but that's one of the big positives of being involved in that crazy, often silly show, is the friendships and connections you can make within it. And Adam and I are getting closer, and it's been a joy because at the center of it is a shared love of Star Wars. So we did that thing you do, especially out here in LA, but let's be honest, around the world. You connect with someone, you have a good conversation, and you say, hey, let's podcast. Why don't you come on my show? I'll go on your show. Can I go on your live stream? Yeah, it's just the way of it. And you know what? And God bless it. Glad it is, because that's part of why we love doing Four Center, Joseph, Jennifer, and I. And why podcasting is so powerful and still, believe it or not, still growing. You still see articles of this new trend called podcasting. It might be around a bit. And I think because it is like radio before it, that intimate connection, communication, shared joys, shared displeasures, shared fears, shared insecurities, and again, just shared experiences that can connect over time and place. And Adam and I get to do that here in this interview. And I'll say this. We wanted specifically to talk about solo. We both love solo. A lot of you listening love solo. Some of you might not. But I implore you to listen because we do talk about that a lot. But we started somewhere and we ended up going somewhere. Kind of like solo. No real plan. Just jump in the ship and start flying. And it was a real fun interview. And for Force Center, I'll say, you know, we try to approach Star Wars from a certain point of view. But over the last year, I have consistently and constantly found myself a little frustrated. Not with, quote unquote, the fandom. Not with Star Wars or anything around it, but just the way films are discussed, the way joy is often taken from you, even if it's unintentional by other people. So we get into some conversations about that. But in that, Adam and I speak strongly. And sometimes here in Force Center, we really try to keep an even hand in discussing Star Wars, even though we fall down clearly on certain sides of the Star Wars conversation. But it was kind of therapeutic for Adam and I to just talk almost as if we did in a bar in Hollywood earlier in this year. No mics, no cameras then, just us talking about Star Wars and sharing some thoughts and opinions and even some frustrations. We get to do that here. So I am so excited to present that to you all here in a moment. Thank you again for supporting Force Center and listening and going along with us on our journey. As always, this podcast is brought to you by Audible. If you want to try a free audiobook on us, go to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Get yourself a free audiobook. Like, say, you want to dive into Solo, the novelization by Merle Lafferty? It's there for you to do. And do it on us. Get a free audiobook and support the show. We also can be followed on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Spotlight Star Wars to join this conversation or to ask questions specific to Spotlight Star Wars, a specialty show here on the Force Center podcast feed. So without further ado, we are going to take a quick break, reset, and on the other side, me, Adam Witt, and the journey of being intellectually curious about Star Wars. Stick around. This is Spotlight Star Wars here on Force Center.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com, that's JenniLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Hey, 4 Center fans, don't forget 4 Center is on YouTube. Head over there to catch up with our new show, Star Wars Show and Tell. Joseph, Jennifer, Ken, and special guests sit down and share favorite items from their own Star Wars memorabilia collections. Plus, there's the In Memoriam video series, encore presentations of Databank Brawl, and special programming all there for you, and more shows on the way. It's 4 Center on YouTube. Check it out. Spotlight Star Wars fans, welcome back to 4 Center, one part of the movie guys, the great comedy movie pundit team out there. Paul Preston was on here recently, but we have him by himself, just for us. We're selfish today. It's Adam Witt. Adam, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Ken. Thank you for having me on. I love to talk Star Wars.
Yeah, I want to start there. So first of all, now you and I have known each other for a couple years through Schmodown. We've known of each other through comedy circles, podcast circles. The Movie Guys podcast was on, I think, right before the Schmozno movie show on Thursdays at the Toad Hop days.
Yeah.
We'd pass through and, you know, it's just one of those, you know, hey, how you doing? We all kind of go our ways.
You guys would have to wait in the hallway while we cleaned up props, which is a frequent problem with the Movie Guys and various sketch groups I've been in over the years.
Yeah. I remember that well. Like, we're almost done. They're just getting their clown costume. It's good.
I had a sketch troupe in Chicago, and we ended the show with a fake heart being pulled out of a body every night. And so there was always fake blood on the stage, and there was always like a mop bucket. It's like, oh yeah, sorry, Can O Nuts. You guys can come in just a second. We just have to clean up the blood.
Oh boy, Can O Nuts. There's the Chicago improv team. And then again, through competing Movie Trivia Schmodown, and you've been competing in the Schmodown Star Wars stuff, you and I got chatting, and then one day, it was earlier this year, I do believe, before, in the before times, when we were out, one of the last public events I was able to attend was Movie Trivia Schmodown Draft and Award Show.
Yeah.
You and I got to connect afterwards at a table on the side of the Saddle Ranch Bar. Yes, probably a few too many Carillion wines and beers in us. But we got to talk about just Star Wars, number one. We're old school guys, old generation of fans, but we love Star Wars top to bottom. Get excited. We connected over Solo. So we're going to be talking about the art of loving Solo today. But I want to start first something you said off air. You at one point just kind of gave up talking Star Wars.
I did. I just, nobody was, could enjoy it quite on my level. And I didn't want to put that pressure on anybody to have to discuss this, but it would be the sort of thing where you'd start to discuss Star Wars. As I've always said, the line from Groundhog Day, do you really want to talk about the weather or are you just making chit chat? Because I can pretend that your level of Star Wars talk, I can talk at that for other people, and that's fine. But like, and then also like the venom around the Phantom Menace, and frankly, a bunch of people who didn't really like Star Wars enough to begin with to be having that conversation or courting my attention for a conversation on Phantom Menace, it just upset me. I'm like, you shouldn't be talking about Phantom Menace. You don't get Star Wars. And then the conversation, then it became a lot of people just copying that sort of basic criticisms of Phantom Menace. And I was like, it's just not even worth talking Star Wars with people. You people, you just don't get it, you know?
I feel you, man. And yeah. I know what you mean. And you and I aren't saying we're above anyone else. So there's a right way, but there is this point. And I have reached that point. Force Center, we're so blessed to just be able to have those conversations for people to hear or from out and about. I mentioned this recently. I won't go into too many details. He's a friend of mine, but like we've worked together in wrestling and everything. And he's a Hollywood kind of production guy. And he just doesn't like some of the newer movies, which, by the way, is fine. But we're outside and he came to my house, had a mask socially. He had to drop something off and pick something up. And he wanted to talk about Rey Skywalker. And he wanted to talk about Palpatine. And he was asking some of these questions. And I just, at one point, was just like, man, you don't want the answers, though.
No.
I could tell you the what's and the how's, and the more importantly, the why, but you don't want that. You just want to talk at me with your talking points you've read on We've Got This Covered or something like that, a website that doesn't get it as well. And it's no disrespect, but it's like, just like the Groundhog Day, that weather thing is perfect. It's like, we don't need to do this. We don't need to do this.
No, we don't have to talk about Star Wars. In fact, I can talk about Star Wars as a complete pedestrian with you. Yeah, that wasn't that great, that part in that movie, whatever. But I've got this full, deep understanding of it. And I don't go read much reviews or anything like that. Like, I kind of took the temperature of what people were saying about Rise of Skywalker. And I'm like, I'm not going to dip into that. I have an understanding of and a love of Rise of Skywalker. I will take any comers on that. Well, now I'm a changed man, Ken. By the way, because I've met the Schmodown, I've met you, and now I've competed in the Star Wars tournament. I mean, and everybody that I know in the Schmodown loves Star Wars in the right way or dislikes it in the right way. That's okay too. You could dislike it. Just don't be a dummy about it. Be actually intellectually curious because you're talking on a level about something that other people have gone to that level and understand it that deep. And so you know...
Yeah, I love that. I love how you phrase that, dislike it the right way. And again, those listening, I think the Force Center listeners get it if we're not wagging fingers right or wrong. But I love that's because Force Center, the Discord community, sometimes this pops up like, hey, you know, I'd like to disagree with something and not be battered bashed over the head for not liking something. And sometimes we can, you know, we're a like-minded kind of hive and we can be like, oh, that's right. Yep, there are some things that you could question. But I love what you just said is those are the conversations I'll gladly have. It's how you phrase it. It's how you understand it. And yes, your personal experiences and yes, your personal point of view. I want that. It's important. But like, let's be honest and have real conversations, not the plot point. Get out.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Well, that's the other thing too. People have their extreme focus in what they, and if you're trying to pick apart a Star Wars movie, you know, you can go to the script or you can go to this acting performance or whatever. You can find it. It's all over the place. Sure, there's plenty to not like, but I have a feeling you're comparing it to ordinary people. I have a feeling you're going in the wrong way. You know, so it's like, movies, the reason we love movies is movies are a lot of things. Movies are photography. Movies are acting. Movies are writing. Movies are performance. Movies are all these things. And so someone comes in and goes, ah, Jake Lloyd's terrible in that movie, and that movie's terrible. I'm like, well, that is one thing in that movie. You have skipped a lot. And that means you just aren't intellectually curious enough to get into Star Wars on that level, which is fine. But you're the one that, you know, usually the case, I'm talking to this mysterious straw man, but you're the one that wanted to have this conversation about Star Wars. And and I felt bad. I started making people regret starting conversations about Star Wars with me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I shut you down real fast there, didn't I?
Yeah, that's no fun.
So this is
going back to 99 for you too. I mean, probably the original trilogies and we've all had our journeys with the prequels and I'm at a very positive spot with them and have been for years, but it didn't start that way. But it was like to be intellectually curious enough to investigate what you don't like or what you do like about it is an interesting thing.
Well, you make a very good point there because I've heard on the Force Center podcast and I've heard other conversations where people have gone through the same journey with Phantom Menace. You know, we can sit here and defend it all day long, but we're well practiced at that. When I left the theater in 1999, and I've heard you tell these stories too, and other people and other Star Wars podcasts will talk about that moment when they left the Phantom Menace and they weren't quite sure what to think. And I think there were plenty of weeks where I was like, man, that's not a great movie. But then you realize what those movies are, and you find the Star Wars in. I mean, obviously the Star Wars all over those movies, but you know, I mean, if people are dueling with lightsabers, I am pretty much okay. But it's become a really interesting analysis because I've completely made my peace with the Phantom Menace, and I hear that in your voice in other things too. Of like, oh no, I found the love in that. It's all over that. Oh, I can give you 800 great things about the Phantom Menace, and you know what? I'm probably going to disagree with the 10 things you don't like also. But that comparing what's to dislike and what's to like, you know, there's a lot there. And if you love Star Wars, you're going to find that love, which is so much fun. That's part of the fun of it. We're not just like in the bag for Star Wars. We're like, oh, gosh, well, what do I like about The Phantom Menace? Oh, well, maybe that's what I like about Star Wars. And then you go see something like The Force Awakens. And you're like, you know, that's something I love about Star Wars that I discovered in the prequels that is now is a part of the canon that they're putting into these sort of things, like in terms of a mood or an analysis, you know?
It's the journey of love in Star Wars. Indeed. I think that's well said. And coming back, I want to go, this is great. We're going off the beaten path of our planned conversation. We're going to be talking a lot about Solo, but this is a really interesting having this discussion with you. You and I are in the same kind of general age group generation on the films. When they came back, when the news came out, Lucas was selling it, which, you know, by the way, that's when we were doing the podcasting at Toad Hop with you guys.
Yeah.
In that era, 2012, crazy to think. What as a quote, older fan, I don't talk, not turns
no,
of,
absolutely.
As an age experienced fan, Adam, what were you at that time thinking when the news broke and knowing what you went through with like, gosh, I'm just done talking Star Wars.
Well, the thing is, my love of Star Wars became kind of a secretive love. I couldn't really share with anybody just how much I loved Star Wars and anything to do with it. So that again has recently opened up. I met you. I met a lot of the Schmodown people. You can have great Star Wars conversations with, good or bad. I mean, there's lots of people in the Schmodown that don't like this or that Star Wars movie. But I love the analysis. There was just such bad analysis for a long time, and then I met you guys. And I'm like, oh my god! And like for example, Bibiani just did the Star Wars Episode Zero. And I must disagree with those two people every 3 minutes. And I adore that podcast, you know. But so going back to The Phantom Menace. Sorry, I got off track there. You're going to have to do a little bit here.
You spun yourself into a Star Wars tizzy, and that's okay. So yeah, going back to your experiences in Phantom Menace, but leading into new films are coming. I was fully excited, but there was also that thought of, here we go again, to quote 3PO. Like this could be not that I was worried about the quality of films. but the discourse, the conversation, I had no idea it was getting as bad as it got, but I had a little bit of like, okay, I just got to a good spot on some of these prequel films. I don't want to have these conversations again.
Right, right. Well, you know, here's the interesting thing too. So we'll skip around in the timeline a little bit here because anybody discussing Star Wars on Twitter or any platform loves Star Wars. I don't care what they're saying. You are there. You are discussing Star Wars. You are not doing that about any other movie. And that is the wonderful web of joy that Star Wars spins. That even the people that are like, I'm going to go to Twitter and tell everybody just how bad The Last Jedi is. Right. You went to Twitter to tell people about Star Wars. You do not hate Star Wars. And if you need to feel like you hate Star Wars, that's great. Go on there, discuss it. Now, obviously, there's name callers and stuff like that and people who don't get it. But everybody for example, I don't talk Reality Bites. I don't tweet about Reality Bites. You know why? That's a terrible movie. And so I just don't talk about it. But when the Force Awakens was announced, I mean, this is magic. And I got to say, from the perspective of other people who might say, God, what do you guys like about Star Wars so much? Or why are you so obsessed with that? Several times in my life, there was never going to be another Star Wars movie made ever.
Right.
For the rest of my life. There was after Jedi, at some point, they stopped writing articles about how they were going to make more of them. And I had a believe it when I see it attitude about the prequels. When Lucas said he was going to do that, I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. I was there opening day for The Phantom Menace, and I couldn't believe it. Still can't believe it. So the even bigger holy grail than that is a sequel to Return of the Jedi. So all these years, they had never made a sequel to Return of the Jedi, and that was definitely never going to happen. So when we finally got new Star Wars sequels, prequels, and they were what they were. Some people liked them, some people didn't, but I couldn't believe Star Wars was back. Kids of a new generation were now enjoying Star Wars again. And by the way, young people have no idea that anybody ever disliked The Phantom Menace or the prequels. I find that hilarious and a lesson for us all.
Right. We always said the prequel kid generation, which is, you know, now we're talking from 25 to early 30s is that generation. They have no time for that discussion, even if they are aware of it, because they're like, no, I was 7, I was 8, I was 9, I was 10. And Jake Lloyd as Anakin inspired me. Ahmed Best as Jar Jar inspired me. The pod race inspired me.
Absolutely. The love of Hayden Christensen, the number of gifts of Hayden Christensen I see on Twitter, I could have never predicted. Those people do not know that at one point people were like, this is terrible and he's ruining the movie. They don't even know that happened. And I would say this too about people who don't like Rise of Skywalker. You know what? Skip this charade. Just like Rise of Skywalker, watch it again. Trust me, you're going to love it. That is a ripping yarn of a movie. That is a very different Star Wars movie, and it's fantastic. But and we're seeing it with Solo right now, and we'll get to Solo in a second, but that people are like, it's not good, blah, 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 blah. All the standard criticism. I mean, it's almost like control, copy, paste, you know, of my Last Jedi thoughts. And then everybody comes around to The Force Awakens. Everybody comes around to the prequels. Everybody comes around to The Last Jedi. Everybody is now coming around to Solo. People are watching it for the second time and going, this movie's pretty good. And so there goes all that initial criticism. So I'm like, guys, I know you want to do this with Rise of Skywalker. I know you want to Phantom Menace, Rise of Skywalker. But you know what? Skip it and just get to the fun part where you love it, because you're going to love it in 3 years. Trust me.
Get to the fun part when the pressure's off. And I get it. Again, we're not claiming these movies are impervious to criticism or perfect by any means. But yeah, Rise of Skywalker, I still say, is this wacky, bonkers, crazy Star Wars film that gave me stuff I never thought I'd see. Maybe gave me some things I didn't want to see. But overall, at the end of that movie, I've never cried so much in a movie. I've never been moved by a Star Wars movie. Mr. Holland's Opus got me more. I still watch it now and get misty and teary-eyed, and I've seen it, you know, now we're in the 10, 15 time range where the emotions start to go a little dull. But, you know, hey, again, are there big things you don't like? Yeah, absolutely. But I love what you just said again, Adam. That's going to be my theme for this.
See, I think about this stuff a lot. I'm now talking to more people about Star Wars, but all these thoughts have packed up in my head over the years of exactly, because, you know, I was forced to examine what I liked about Star Wars when everybody was dumping on Phantom Menace. And I was like, well, what do I like about this? Is it just lightsabers? Yeah. You know, is it just Jedi? Right. And you know what? Seeing a Jedi on screen will get me through a lot of things. In fact, I loved in The Mandalorian how a certain percentage of each episode is just him walking down a Tatooine street. And I was like, I could watch that forever. Yeah. I could watch a Boba Fett walk down a Tatooine street for hours.
That's part of the genius of that show with Favreau. He really does that. To go back to that. Let's get to Solo, man. So to set the scene, so you and I, we're having some fun, reading some bar food on Sunset Strip in Hollywood, following a big Schmodown event. There's Schmodown fans and supporters around, competitors, everyone's there. It's one of those days. It's a Saturday afternoon and you're day drunk in Hollywood. And you and I just kind of end up at a table together and and it was like, hey, let's talk. And we started talking about Solo and it's weird because it's not just Star Wars. It could be anything. It's like, you look around, you whisper, you're like, do you like pineapple on pizza? And if you don't, that's fine. We're fine. But you and I were like, kind of this Solo came up and I just was kind of in one of my day drunk, grumpy Ken moods of like, I love Solo and I'm really grumpy with the people who don't like Solo. And you're like, me too. And we had a really fun conversation about it. So, man.
And given the last thing we just talked about, I have to say to some people in the audience, now, everybody in the audience, about a year and a half ago, people didn't like Solo. Of course, that's changing because it does with every Star Wars movie. Okay, continue, Ken.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've had some friends of mine, again, they're not in the podcast sphere. They're not online. They're not tweeting about it. Some of them don't even have Twitter handles and they're Star Wars fans. And one of real close to me, whose cat is named Lando.
Nice.
My friend Joe Ruggiero, who's been on Force Center, I think before, and is definitely going to be on again. Put a pin in that. I'll tell you why. He was like, oh, I finally watched it. Yeah. Okay. Cause he didn't see it in the theater and he wasn't bored. Wow. He was like, I don't know. I just didn't feel the need. And it's like, but your cat's named Lando. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'll get around to it. And he finally saw it recently. It was like, oh yeah. Okay. That was really fun. And then he's been writing me. He's a little younger than you and I, but he's been writing me and goes, hey, I've been revisiting the prequels. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I can't believe it. I love some of the stuff in this. And we're probably going to talk about it here on a Spotlight Star Wars about a late to the game kind of switch in attitude of just doing what you talked about, Adam. Finding, I'm a Star Wars fan. What is in these movies that I do love? Let's throw the other stuff away. Let's throw the Roger Rogers and all the things you might have heard in 99. And some of those you may like, no, but what's there? And he's been texting me going, oh gosh, I just got to Attack of Clones. Oh my God, I forgot about that. Oh gosh. And so that excites me. And that excites me about Solo as well. And excites me to see, it excited me to see the excitement on your face.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is because that took the usual drubbing that they take. And so, yes, I had not talked Solo with anybody. In fact, I wonder if I saw Solo with anybody. Usually I'll go with some Star Wars fans. Although the last few movies, and I said this and it made Paul Preston laugh too. And he goes, who are you going to go see? Who are you going to go see Rise of Skywalker with? And I said, nobody. Mike, these are intensely personal films now, and nobody enjoys them quite the way I do. Yeah. Not on the same level of like, I, you know, go with people who are going to bash on it or whatever. I'd go with people that would like it, but I'm like, it's now become a sort of thing where I'm like, boy, I just really like these movies on this really deep personal level. And so the last couple I've gone to by myself, but so Solo had taken its usual drubbing. Yeah. And so here's what I love about Solo. And it really is what is great about all of these movies working as they work. Because when George Lucas made Star Wars, he was taking his influences from Samurai. We didn't recognize that when we were kids. He was taking his influence from Westerns. I didn't see that when I was a kid. You know, he's taken Knights and Princesses. I caught that a little bit when I was a kid, but I didn't catch that this movie was this complete homage, because actually it's kind of not. You take all the same notes for Beethoven's Fifth, you can get to Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, but that doesn't make those the same song. You know what I'm saying? So Star Wars was this complete experience. And as that got me into filmmaking and movies, just like it did you and a lot of Schmodown people, and you started studying directors and all these things, then you started reading, oh, Hidden Fortress, oh, samurai movies, oh, it's a Western. Oh, I was shocked to find out, and I'll come around to a good point on Solo with this. I was shocked to find out that Han Solo is called a pirate. you know, that I just didn't recognize the pirate angle or the pirate ship, but that's where Lucas started and he ended up with Han Solo. He started with Knights and Princesses and ended up with Obi-Wan Kenobi. He started with Cowboys and ended with the Cantina. You know, a lot of influences, but he doesn't, you know, he strays quite far from those to get his own vision and things. And
yeah.
Well, the idea of the space pirate, I had never even thought of that, like what that meant. I'm like, I don't know. He's called a pirate. I don't quite get it. I know he's smuggling something or whatever. But, and I'll bring this back around to this, the Han Solo theme in the new Solo movie, that is such a high flying seafaring piece of music. And it comes straight out of John Williams. You know, it's much more influenced by John Williams, Tintin, you know, which is high seafaring, you know, raucous. And I just love that Han Solo was a pirate in his conception way back when. And by the time John Williams finally gets around to composing Han Solo's own theme, it's a pirate theme. It's a seafaring theme. It's straight out of the, not the Jaws theme, but the other themes in Jaws, that Eric Korngold sort of like out to sea adventure. And I'm like, holy crap, that works with Han Solo so good. And that is a 40-some year arc to bring around the seafaring pirate high adventure theme in that. That's one thing I like about that.
Well, yeah. I mean that I you're so right. This is like one of those old, either a promotional booklet or a trading card, something. Yep. Han Solo,
right.
rogue smuggler are things we hear now. Space pirate is something I grew up kind of knowing. I've loved that you connected back to that. And now the movie, the theme, but yeah, going into the maw and running into the Summa Verminoth creature there.
Summa Verminoth?
Yeah. Verminoth. There it is.
Love Star Wars words. Tolsite, yeah.
I don't have to compete anymore in trivia, so I don't memorize the words anymore. And that's freeing. But I mean, that is absolutely going into the sea. That is absolutely Moby Dick. That is absolutely the pirate kind of theme there. It's not saying it's all in the ocean, but yeah, I think that is a great starting point to talk about the love of Solo, because it is, to me, very true to the heart of that character, and that's where the heart began.
Well, and then to go back to all those influences that created Star Wars, after George Lucas takes his six shots at Star Wars, and this is what Star Wars is. And what's funny about the prequels is he wasn't obsessed with everything we got obsessed with in the first ones. He just wanted to make these new movies. And so we were kind of shocked at like, oh, this is what George Lucas thinks Star Wars is? You know, okay, well, this is a different type of adventure. But when it comes back, the fascinating thing about the sequel trilogy is now, after we've seen what George Lucas continues his story, and it's very different from the original movies, that now we get to see what fans would do if they got to make their Star Wars movie, J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and Ron Howard, you know. So it's fascinating that what they see in Star Wars is so many things. It is that Western. It is that samurai. And in Solo, you see, and I always call it the notes on the Star Wars keyboard. You can play various compositions because there's a ton of things in Star Wars. There's always a sort of cantina thing or that sort of thing. So all those notes are played on the Solo keyboard, but we hit hard the cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
We're robbing a train. You're robbing a train in a Star Wars movie. And who's going to rob a train? Of course, that's going to be in a Han Solo story. Yeah. You're riding up on your horses or whatever their version of it is. The Enfys Nest is the a biker gang, you know. That just blows me away to take that little cowboy thing. And and again, in Star Wars, you can read that analysis afterwards and you could, you know, the classic cowboy moment is when Obi-Wan cuts the arm off and then the band stops and then the band just starts playing again. That is classic cowboy. Somebody gets shot in the bar and then and then you're moving on. But the big cowboy has always been Han Solo. So in this one, we got so much cowboy stuff. Yeah. I love that. It just really fills out something that and nobody else gravitated to cowboy stuff. There's no cowboy stuff in Force Awakens, but there is in Star Wars. And if you want to play that note on the scale, and Ron Howard did, or the Lawrence Kasdan did, you know, it's there. And that's all over Solo, is different notes on the keyboard that haven't been played very firmly in Star Wars. Star Wars is such a thick tome that's why we love it. You're like, hey, there's one guy in the background and he's never going to have another line again, but he's going to have an action figure. We're going to play with that action figure and create adventures. And then finally, Taika Waititi will put him in an episode and people will go, oh, wow, IG-88 gets the end of the story, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about Alden Ehrenreich. Let's start there with in-depth conversation about it. I think I unapologetically love what he did. I totally totally understand the difficult nature of filling shoes. You know, it wasn't like River Phoenix in Last Crusade, who had just an opening sequence that he had to get through. John Patrick Flannery in the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, I think, didn't face this and did a real good job, but it's not on the big screen. It's not an entire movie that is supposed to be Harrison Ford in everyone's mind, and it's someone else. I understand it might not be note perfect for everybody. It is for me, and I say that unapologetically. I think I get a little heat. I've said it on Force Center before, and I'll sometimes say it in a bar to see if anyone wants to fist fight me. I think he's a better Han Solo than Harrison
Ford
in Return of the Jedi. Only because
he is. Yeah. That's a good point. I've not heard that point made. You're right. He is. And I never understood what people didn't like about Return of the Jedi. In fact, I didn't know people didn't like Return of the Jedi until way later. But that is one of the things that now I look in retrospect and go, oh, yeah, Han Solo is kind of an ineffective character. He's more of a goofball and stuff. Yeah, it's a good point. He's a better Han Solo than Han Solo is in Return of the Jedi. And that's a valid point.
And Harrison wanted to go, you know, do Mosquito Coast and do some other
things.
And that's fair. So anyways, I want to talk about you, your first experiences watching Alden just embody this role.
I thought he was great. You know, again, we don't know. A lot of people that don't think he did a good job or that don't think that's Han Solo. If you had challenged them pre-Solo without anything to go, what is Han Solo? What is Han Solo to you? To some people, he might be the guy that just shot first, but that is only one thing about it. To others, he's the guy that heads into the asteroid field. To others, he's the guy that owes money to Jabba the Hutt. I think they took all those things, certainly in the writing, and found the essence of Han Solo. And Alden Ehrenreich is finding a different essence than the writers even. That obviously he's got that smirk. He's got that. But I love that he's more confident than he should be. And that, you know, that's just key to Han Solo. But we only have three Han Solo performances, now we have several, but that he's in over his head, that he thinks he could talk his way out of everything, that he's superbly confident, even though he shouldn't be, that he's always behind the eight ball. I love lines like, what does he say? He gets punched more. Sorry about your eye. Had to punch you or something like that. And he goes, it happens more than you'd think, you know?
Absolutely. And just finding the character at 20, and the mixture of wanderlust and confidence and fear and self-discovery. I still think I understand the Solo getting his name seen. I understand why it doesn't work for people. I'm not saying it's a top 20 Star Wars moment for me, but I still love how Alden plays it. His choices as an actor, Han Solo comes alive in that scene. It dawns on him that this is the thing he's been looking for, getting out, getting Kira, all those things. But when it's all right, Han Solo, and it is the unconcerned arm of the Empire that's like, whatever, we don't care. But in his face, he plays it as, this is me now. This is who I am. And he's still confused about what that even means, but he has a path forward, good or bad. I just love that moment. And that's the stuff that Alden found as a performer.
Yeah. The line that, while I was studying for, the Star Wars, tournament recently, I watched all these again, multiple times, and twist my arm, I got to tell you, but did I discover a lot of great new stuff and I laughed out. This is me at like 2 a.m, you know, my roommate goes to sleep and I'm like, all right, I'm going to pop in a Star Wars movie. I still say pop in, even though I'm just going to stream it. The one after they have the conversation with Dryden Voss, which again, think about this. Nobody thought about this. You hear Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars and pre-special edition, there was something special about hearing about a character for two movies before you saw him. But it doesn't even occur to me, but it clearly does to Lawrence Kasdan and Ron Howard, that there's not just one gangster anywhere. There's not just one mob anywhere. There's always a second mob, and usually three or four. So the idea that in this one, they lay out the five different mobs of the Star Wars universe. I'm like, oh my God, it took them 40 years to define who the other mobs are. That's fantastic. Like, yeah. There's still ground to dig up. So he has that conversation with Dryden Vos, which in my very favorite line of Solo is, and remember, if you fail to pull this off, we'll all be out of options, which means I'm going to kill you in this nice way. You know, he's such a great mobster. But yeah. As soon as they exit that room, Han Solo goes, well, I think that went pretty well. And I'm just like, that is so Han Solo that like, he's going to get in over his head. He already promised, overpromised, and he pulls it out, you know?
Yeah, and again finds it and learns the lesson. I thought the shoot first with Beckett was a valuable lesson, all those kind of little details about the character, yeah. but down to the movements and everything, and it's some of the great Chewie stuff. And I understand sometimes when you get some official answers about, hey, how did these characters meet and how do they, right. Sometimes that can go against your own expectations. That's fine, yeah. Fair, but we always want to engage with what's presented to us.
People wanted a meteor reason that he said Chewie instead of Chewbacca. I mean, yeah. You know, he's like, I'm going to have to shorten that. But that's such a throwaway line. I'm like, why would people make hay of that? I'm like, all right, they just wanted to refer to it. Like, give me a break. I got a great thing to say about Solo. And yeah. I think I told you this in the bar that night. This was one that really blew me away the second time. First time these movies just wash over me. Yeah. And people don't notice this. This is an amazing moment that just slips by in Solo. Yeah. So Han Solo has the iconic gun, right? And yeah. We're doing a Batman Begins. You got to figure out where he gets the Batarang. You got to figure out where he gets the Batmobile. And that's what we're in for, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to do the same thing for the new Batman. I'm like, where's this one get his Batmobile? I can't wait. But where does he get his sidekick? Where does he get his ship? And where does he get that classic Han Solo blaster? Mm-hmm. That thing is such an icon. And we've seen it for years and it's got a scope on it, but it's a pistol. That's so cool. And I watched the second time, didn't even catch it the first time, yeah. That, when they're sitting around the campfire doing the classic cowboy thing, what are you going to do with your part of the money? This is a Three Amigos conversation also.
Yes.
He is taking apart a rifle. He takes the end off the rifle. He takes the barrel off. He puts the end of the rifle on the pistol. He takes the stock off and then throws it with the scope still on it to Han Solo. And I was like, oh my God, Han Solo's pistol has always been cool, but now it's a rifle. He's been firing a rifle in his hands. That is so cool. And that's just the value added to that movie. Yeah. And that's just one tiny little moment. There's stuff like that all over it. Love it.
Yeah. And I, again, finding the meaning and finding the why of that scene, as small as it could be. I don't think you have to dig too deep into what that means, but it is kind of, you know, breaking down the character and going to his core. And now he has his trusty blaster aside, but just, you know, there was a lot of pushback against those kind of things. I don't know what people want sometimes. That's what I don't get. And then I heard a lot about, and I want to ask you this and what your thoughts on this one. It's a tough one to answer. I heard a lot from my friend who I didn't watch in the theater. Well, we didn't really ask for this movie. And I'm like, I didn't ask for anything after New Hope, but it kept showing up. And I just don't understand that take on it, but why you feel you need. Yeah, well, we need that story.
I mean, I guess that's the point where I'd say, then you're just not a big Star Wars fan. So that's, we don't have to talk about this. Like, right. If you don't have to be a Star Wars fan, friend. I mean, that's where I become kind of a jerk, I think, sometimes when I think I told you early on, I go, I'm not fun to talk Star Wars with because, you know, I will do stuff like that. But it's like, if you can't see the value in more Star Wars, not less, then how big a Star Wars fan can you be? I mean, and I've said this to people too, who didn't like the prequels. And I go, don't worry. It's okay to not be a Star Wars fan, but be a fan of that movie, Star Wars. That's perfectly okay. Or you could like Star Wars and Empire and you're the Star Wars. But, you know, yeah, when it's like, well, I didn't ask for this. I'm like, well, I did. So that's a push. I reject the premise of this statement. I reject the premise of the criticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There, thank you with the Tarantino reference. That's the thing. And again, it's like, I don't, you and I, we're dancing on the edge of being snarky, but only because I think we're at the end of our rope a little bit. I'm exhausted on some of these things, of just constantly having these discussions of you didn't ask for it. Like you said, Adam, you're a Star Wars fan. We're asking for everything because we want more.
I mean, I can't believe the wealth that we've gotten. It's just fantastic. And the fact that there's a movie like Rogue One, really? They made a whole movie about how they got the Death Star plans? Oh my God. I'm living in the greatest time in the history of America that exists. That a solo movie exists. Oh my God. I never saw any of this coming.
And that's sometimes going back to the exhaustion point of some of the arguments I've had with some folks where it's just off air stuff. Cause I don't like to engage too much with it online or on a show, but just with the pushback against the Kenobi. Oh, they're just so creatively bankrupt. I'm like, I want every character to have a 6-episode think piece. I've spent my life dreaming of what that is.
Right. We sat there our entire youth and went, I wonder what the Clone Wars are. And if you didn't go, I wonder what the Clone Wars are, then maybe that's just Star Wars is not for you. You don't have to like it, you know? Like, I'm sorry, it's very disappointing to people who don't want to see sequels to things. Right. Completely original movies. And people that was like, oh, why don't they make original movies? And then they don't go see Hardcore Henry. And then they don't go see any of these movies anyway. So it's like, you're just blowing wind, yeah. You know? I mean, how many great, brilliant movies that have come out that aren't sequels that fail at the box office, yeah. You know?
Yeah. So it's different podcast for sure. And look, I want new characters. I'm interested more than I even thought I would be about the High Republic novel series and programming coming out there. Well, not programming yet, but publishing side is handling the High Republic. Yeah, I'm interested in that too. But I know it's just me because that's the great thing about Star Wars is, as you would agree, Adam, it is a salad buffet. And if today you have croutons, you take the croutons. Give me those 19 years between Sith and A New Hope. Like, there's so much to explore thematically.
To get back to that last point too, that I think people that say that's so creatively bankrupt, first of all, they're kind of just talking. They're not that big of Star Wars fans, but that is giving a lot of credit to, or no, that is, that is saying that that's actually denying the very essence of Star Wars. I'll put it that way. Because to say that having watched, say, Episode 4, right, that I understand everybody in that cantina by the end of that? No, you don't. That I understand every Imperial officer? No, you don't. That I understand even Obi-Wan Kenobi at the end of Star Wars? No, you don't. It's Episode 4 for a reason. There's meant to be a lot more story before that. And there's obviously going to be more story after that. People acting like, well, we've covered Luke. No, we haven't. We've covered very few years of Luke's life.
It's also a little bit, you know, when it comes to Rise of Skywalker and the Skywalker saga, I get wrapping it up and everything, but I'm just like, that is the central. I had this discussion. I always end up bringing Game of Thrones into Star Wars, but if I'm talking Game of Thrones, I'm bringing Star Wars into the conversation. It's just the way I do it, Adam. But it
wouldn't be a Game of Thrones without Star Wars. Continue.
Yeah, but it's like,
that's a bold claim. I'm just being a dick now. Go ahead.
Criticisms of season 8 of Game of Thrones aside, doesn't matter. I was talking to someone and they said they brought it in. They said, well, Rise of Skywalker is kind of like season 8 of Game of Thrones, just the whole Game of Thrones series. Like, God, it's just so small. Like, we're just dealing with the same families over and over again. The world's so big. And I'm just, I can't combat that because I can't wrap my brain around. I understand the Skywalkers aren't everything, but did you go into Star Wars Episode 9 not thinking this was going to tie in the Skywalker family?
Yeah, I mean, what were you going in for? Yeah. And also, I have a problem with any criticism that can be written before you even watch the movie. I'm like, well, now that I know the review you had in your head before you went in to hate that movie, what did you think of the movie? Yeah. I mean, really, it's like you're not bringing anything from having seen that movie into your thoughts on it. So what are we even talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but also that storytelling, too, going to like the Game of Thrones thing, is like, oh, it's always House Stark and House Lannister and House Targaryen. Yeah. Because House Glover is interesting for 5 minutes. That's not the fan. That's how stories go. You know, yeah. Every lead of, you know, let's watch When Harry Met Sally, but can we also spend an hour with Bruno Kirby? Like, no, it's that's not how you write stories to tell movies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. I mean, yeah. What am I supposed to do with your lightsaber list, Luke Skywalker list, Jedi list, space pirate list, Star Wars movie? I mean, like you think all this stuff should be removed from it? No, it's like the Death Star in The Force Awakens, the Starkiller base.
Yeah.
Great reference, by the way. But again, the Starkiller was Luke's original last name. Sure. But Starkiller base is a great piece of sci-fi, but because it's round, people have a problem with it. I'm like, come on, how much do you even like Star Wars if your criticism is, oh, another round ship? What, have you not seen Star Trek? Have you not seen, I mean, everything's the same shape in that whole universe. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's such a great piece of sci-fi to put, well, first of all, forts are usually on planets. So to actually fortify a planet and build a gun within it is such a cool idea. And then to have the alt take on the explosion of the Death Star, which again, this is overlooked by everybody. I've watched this movie 100 times, but this is the frustration. If you think that's exactly the Death Star, then you don't recognize the beauty of A, the sun darkening at the moment where the dark side is taking over for symbolism, people. And then when the Starkiller base explodes, it explodes and remains a sun. Mm. That is a beautiful change in the way a space station is blown up. It merely becomes a sun again, and they fly away from that, and the explosion doesn't fade away. It becomes a sun. That's beautiful, actually, if you stop and think about it.
If you stop and think about it, it's a good way. Let's, in the time we have remaining here, let's get back to Solo and wrap up that and have some positive conversations about Solo. What do you think about the character of Kira, which I really have grown to love, a lot of it because of the supplemental material, whether it's Mer Laffy's solo adaptation or Ray Carson's Most Wanted, which is a couple of years prior to the story. I just really love the character of Kira. I think Emilia Clarke did great. I love her in the role. She is, my mother of dragons too. But there were some issues with Lord Miller and the direction of that character. We don't know any facts, so no need to really bring it in here, but. Kira and what she taught, what she was there for. What do you think about of her presence in Star Wars and Solo?
Well, what a great different female character, a female lead in Star Wars. You know, you don't want to tread the same ground as a Princess Leia. I'm certainly not in the Solo. Obviously, we want to remain his great true love to be Princess Leia, so that can be fulfilled. But you don't want her to be a Rey. You know, Rey is I've always seen as a combo of other sort of characters and stuff. So. Here's the kept woman of the gangster. I'm fascinated by that idea that they went full gangster and made that be the barrier between the love that the Kessel Run is basically, something that a gangster sent him on, right. that his love of his life is sort of a kept woman in that. Now, what's great is we see, spoiler alert, that she takes over the organization at the end of that movie. Which is amazing. Like, she's kind of the head. Well, she's not the head of Crimson Dawn, but still, that's really cool. Now, it has always shocked me when she suddenly shows up at that party, because I thought the whole movie was going to be about finding her. And so then they just end up at the same party. And I was like, wow, that is not the dramatic twist I was expecting. But I've made my peace with that moment. That's probably my least favorite moment of Solo, because then we move on to the adventure with Kira, with Han and Kira, and they don't hit it over the head. If it was directed by a different director, they might have the idea that this Kessel Run is also a way to get Kira away from Dryden Vos, you know, that's something that's going to have to be dealt with later. Right. I got to tell you, man, one of my favorite images of that movie is her walking off that Millennium Falcon with that red cape. That is one of the coolest Star Wars looks. She just looks fantastic. And she looks half Imperial, half Lando. And that's so great.
And her name, which I, again, don't have memorized because I'm not
that's reading. That's
But yeah, kind of a play on the old prequel titles of some of the separatists as well. Now,
Oksana Florin, the hold on a second. I had this memorized at one time because I just adored this line. I am Oksana Florin, the executive assistant to the vice admiral for the Federation of Trade Route Allocation and Monetization. Is that a great line or what?
It's funny.
I mean, it's a real big laugh line. That's a funny, funny line.
And real some Star Wars meta stuff there too. Now, her presence in the movie just, I don't know, continues to reward me and what it means. And I want more Kira storytelling. I want more Infus Nest storytelling as well. I love the character of Infus Nest. We probably don't even have time, Adam, to talk about that because I just so love what Infus brings to the story and what she represents.
It's a completely original idea. The biker gang, first of all, was not a genre that they ever went into in the other one. And I just love that there's a biker gang and that it's that gang. And that gang is designed, every part of Solo is designed within an inch of its life and photographed within an inch of its life. That is one of the most lushly photographed Star Wars movies. I would say Rise of Skywalker is actually one of the most photographed Star Wars movies, but this one's even better because all the compositions are like, of course we love Han Solo walking in with the holster in the frame. We get two of those shots. So that's how much they know we love it.
Yeah. Bradford did an amazing job. I love 7 and 8 and 9. I love how they look. I think Last Jedi is an art piece all the way through Rise of Skywalker as well. And their use of colors. But I got Bradford Young was it Greg Frazier and Rogue One? Those are my two favorite looking Star Wars movies.
Amazing. Yeah, they just feel good. They get that used universe thing down so well. I mean, think at we know in our heads there's this legendary card. It's just like Clone Wars. Kenobi mentions Clone Wars, and you go, "Oh my God, I want to see that someday." And then you get to. It's same thing with the steal. I stole her from you. I got her from you fair and square. All this stuff. Lost her in a card game. And the mind reels. The young mind, Star Wars mind reels. What was that card game like? And it can't disappoint. And look at the production design of that card game, that little casino, all those aliens around the table. Oh my God. It's like something out of a dream, and they really play the card game and he really wins the Falcon.
It's great. And the big themes at the end, as we start to wrap up discussion, we could go on. This is what Adam and I did at Saddle Ranch. Why people were riding that mechanical bull. We were just in the corner having a love fest over Solo. What we love about it. They're the themes and what it brings. I've talked often. I'll bore people bringing it up again, but just, actually seeing the Empire and its oppression on a different level and a less military level, but a resource level and a family level and a person and an individual and a culture level, to see that down, which is what Infus Nest represents. It was Joseph Scrimshaw who said it so perfectly early on Force Center, of just the hyperfuel represents, like Infus Nest says, but it represents the hope. It represents the rebellion. It represents fighting back. It is not just a MacGuffin of what they're chasing. It's a powerful use of that. As far as the big theme, I still say the Empire is the enemy in that movie because it is what they have wrought on the galaxy that is present all the way through it.
Well, and the one thing, again, this is why people say, oh, it's creatively bankrupt. We never really saw in Star Wars the ramifications of an empire, of an imperial. Now, and I was too young to know what happened in World War II or anything like that, or anything that's being referred to, stormtroopers, things like that. But here we are. We actually get to see the conquering of a planet, which the Empire needs for something, and just throwing those troops at it. We get to see a real Vietnam War sequence in a Star Wars movie. And it's always been in the background. It's always been referred to. But when people say, why make these movies? I'm like, I haven't seen that yet. I love that. And the fact that other people would, the other Han Solos would be there trying to run some scam. And that's what he uses to get out, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Some other Han Solos. Oh yeah. The Mimban stuff. I could live in that a little bit longer too. I absolutely could. I know there's a lot of stuff cut, and that character Kelso was kind of the heavy gunner, a little bit more in the books. Obviously, they cut.
And the Mimbanese people. I mean, they're if you go into the resource books, there's great photographs of the Mimbanese people, and we don't see any of that. And Star Wars never gets too much into the actual, like, slavery is mentioned in Phantom Menace, but it doesn't want to be a movie about slavery. Right. However, this one, you know, and this one doesn't. Isn't going to show you the burning of the Mimbanese villages, but it is what's going on there. It is they are trying to overtake a planet full of people.
So. No, absolutely. And it's a Han to that captain. You know, we're the invaders kind of thing here. Love it, man. Love it. We could go on and on. I just love
it. Yeah, really good.
we talked about the stuff we talked about up front was really important. And being honest, I've tried to be, you know, Force Center is known for a positive environment. We try to keep that going. But I got to tell you, I and longtime listeners have kind of felt my frustrations. I just think I've been, and Joseph too, and Jennifer, who, you know, is not on regular programming, but hopefully be back soon. You know, just the you're positive has become a pat on the head. That is, oh, that's cute. You're a positive Star Wars fan. Get out of here with your lollipop. And I just feel, no, that's not just what we're doing here. We're diving in and celebrating and being Star Wars fans and being okay with that. And just, and not only being okay with it, but celebrating it literally every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel that's kind of where your heart's at too, as well.
It just keeps giving and giving and giving. If you do want to be a Star Wars fan, if you want to drop this facade that you don't like Rise of Skywalker, like it's so predictable that Palpatine's granddaughter and Vader's grandson would fight. I'm like, that is such a surprise. That is so fantastic. That is exactly what you'd want to see as a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to drop that facade, you know, it's there's so much to love there. And the, you know, we went wide afield of Solo here, but I feel it all plays into the same thing, which is that Star Wars is a lot of things. Star Wars is many notes on a keyboard, and JJ plays certain notes, and you know, some of the notes hadn't been played since the original. You know, and Rogue One plays a lot of notes that hadn't been played since the original, particularly in Giacchino's score. He literally takes a little three-note passages of John Williams and turns them into themes, which is amazing. But that's also what that whole movie does, also. But yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of love for it, and I will talk about Star Wars with anybody. I know I play that sort of gruff thing, but I have been brought back around from, you know, not wanting to talk about it with the sort of the people who didn't like Phantom Menace because they just weren't on the level. But people have come back around now. It's now become multiple things. The people who liked the prequels or never knew they were bad, you know, like the new movies as well. So there's so many people that just love Star Wars the right way. They're all out there.
I love it. I think that's the theme of our talk. What did you call it? The intellectual curiosity of loving Star Wars.
There we go. That's a title.
That's the title. That's the journey. Adam, we're almost out of here. Thank you for stopping by Force Center and Spotlight Star Wars. I want to let everyone know where they can find and follow you. You and Paul Preston did a great Star Wars play-by-play, a sports version of A New Hope, which is spectacular.
If you're listening to this right now, then you would definitely love, if you subscribe to the Movie Guys podcast feed, you can hear the audio version. If you look up the Movie Guys on Vimeo or Facebook, we've posted our Vimeo link where we did sync up the video if you want to see the video with it. And to go back to bring it back to Solo, one of my favorite lines in that is we mention as this, because it's a sports play-by-play of the entire movie of Star Wars. Yeah. And when I go down the bio of Han Solo, I say, Han Solo, given his last name by one of the port guards at one of the facilities, a guy who's named all the greats from the duo twins to the trio triplets. He even named Porkins. So anyway.
Deep cuts. And it works. So there you go, folks. Follow Adam and Paul Preston and an entire Movie Guys crew. They have your website, right? So you can go to there, probably easier. Yeah,
movieguys.net. That's everything's on there.
Movieguys.net. Give Adam a follow as well on Twitter. You were just, what are you on Twitter? Adam Witt? I can't remember.
Adam_Witt.
That's it. It's the underscore. Adam_Witt. Give him a follow. Talk Star Wars with the guy. He just wants someone to love Star Wars with people.
Please, please. It's so much fun. Join us. Seriously. And if you join us as a bonus, I'll tell you my theory on midichlorians. It'll turn that whole argument around for you. Trust me.
Ooh, we'll go into that one day too. So.
Yeah. All you right. Got to hear it.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, keep listening here to Spotlight Star Wars. And there you go. Thanks again to Adam Witt of the Movie Guys for stopping by and talking about the intellectual curiosity of loving Star Wars. I don't even know if that sentence makes complete sense, but it's the title of this episode because it makes sense in my heart, my soul,
and my Star Wars loving brain. We are almost out of here. I do want to thank Sean Arnold, a.k.a. Old Handsaw, for this song that I use here and on the Data Pit, which will return very soon. It's called Mando versus Mad Max, and I appreciate him sharing his talent with me for this sub-theme of Spotlight Star Wars and the Data Pit here on Force Center. You can visit his TeePublic store, which he's got some great stuff at teepublic.com/user/tsean. Thanks again, Mr. Old Handsaw. We, like I said, are almost at air, but I want to remind you again, if you want to support Force Center with your own t-shirts, with your own Force Center shirts or masks, you need a mask, slap Force Center on your face. Go to teepublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Pretty simple. We'll be there for you. Also want to remind you that we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/ForceCenter. If you want to support us there, the things we accomplish through there are because of you. And we thank you so much for that. But as I always say here and on my other podcast, the Knapsack Files, Box Score Heroes, the Afternoons, Josh, Ken, Amanda, wherever I'm talking, casterly talk, I always say the best way to support is just listen, download, share, give a thumbs up, a like, a subscription, a review, or more importantly, just tell a friend about Force Center. That's it for this week on Spotlight Star Wars. We'll see you next time, my friends. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.